just because you were a former professional soccer player here in the United States doesn't mean you know jack shit about what's going on. I'll go further, Benny. If that were the deciding factor of whether you know what's going on or not going on, why is there so many disagreements among former professional soccer players? They all disagree with each other. They're not all unilaterally or monolithically saying, these are the issues and these are the solutions. They all disagree ardently with one another. You have Hercules Gomez running his mouth about nonsense. You've got Eric Winalda completely against everything that Hercules Gomez says. And Eric Winalda played World Cups, played in Europe. You can go down the list. And then you've got Casey Keller saying X, Y, or Z. Oh, MLS is great, Seattle Sounders. And then you have Brad Friedel, who played in Europe and did all these things, was on the national team, saying the exact opposite of what Casey Keller says. So just because you were a former professional soccer player doesn't mean shit with respect to whether you know the truth or you don't know the truth. Hey, it's episode 412 of the 343 podcast. Today's episode is all about futsal, F-U-T-S-A-L. You know, that magic sauce that made Ronaldinho, that made Neymar, that made so many of these world-class players that we've come to enjoy. I had no idea that here in the United States, it had turned into such a grift. Now, before you get all reactionary and join your social media brethren in drawing immediate conclusions from one phrase, why don't you get the full context, okay? Speaking of futsal and whether it's a good development tool or not, hint, hint, it is, but it's not everything it's made out to be. If you are not coaching futsal, if you're coaching in the actual game environment, whether it be 7v7, 11v11, 9v9, whatever, outdoors, on grass, in the, you know, the real game, you need to go to 343coaching.com. There are free and premium coaching education programs for you there based on the proven work, the pioneering work, the revolutionary work and youth development here in the United States of Brian Kliban, who helped develop dozens of professional players and help coaches at all age groups, all levels, both genders, to completely shift the way that they develop their players. And coaches have had wonderful experiences with the coaching methodology. They have taken teams from the bottom of the table to the middle of the table, from the middle of the table to championships. But it's not just about the trophy. It's about a coach feeling comfortable and finally having a recipe and a formula that works for them and works for their players. So again, 343coaching.com is where you want to go. Parents, you are just as critical as the coach, if not more so. You should go to 343masterclass.com and learn how to mentor and guide your son or daughter much, much better. Finally, go to 7v7coaching.com if you're coaching in the 7v7 environment. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoy this episode. Here we go. I think the more trolling that you get, the better off you are, man. So I welcome all the trolls.
100%.
So now, you know, so what, now I'm really curious. I'm curious as to what you have in store for me tonight, actually.
Oof. Well, I was just going to say, man, the trolls are coming out, dude. And there's a whole world of futsal aficionados and futsal lovers of the game, and it seems like we pushed their button, dude. They're getting pretty upset at you, Gary, after our last chat.
We pinched a nerve that, as I admitted on X, I didn't know actually existed, at least not to this extent, man. It's like, as a kid, you turn over a rock or something when you're exploring as a child and being curious. You turn over this big rock and you see all kinds of worms and roaches and creatures, insects crawling out. It really feels that way.
Gary, the thing that's so funny is that even in the clips that I posted, you specifically said, like, hey, futsal is great. And when you go through all the comments, it's like, oh, what the fuck is this guy saying? That how futsal is not good? Or it's like, clearly the people aren't even listening to what you are actually saying. Kind of sad.
Yeah. So, okay, man, what do you want to talk about? Let's jump right on in. Give me some energy, Benny.
Well, Gary, I think we need to address this, okay? Because the DMs are flooding, Gary. The comments are flooding and flying in. I want to start with, I'm not going to go through all the comments, Gary, because we would be here all night, okay? But let's start with Mr. Eddie Johnson, former national team player. Wanted to chime in. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read his comment, Gary. He says, it's guys like this why soccer in this country will never grow, because they get on these damn podcasts and don't have a clue what they're talking about. I use it as a development tool. And yes, it does translate from the court to the field. Facts. Watch my kids play on the big field and watch why futsal has been so important in their development. Break the field up into three thirds. It's small sided. We even play 3v3 when the kids are young for developmental reasons. Game scenarios. This guy needs to take an English class, bro. 1v1, 2v1, 3v2. I can go on and on why the smaller formats are important for development. They need to get this guy off social media. Doesn't even look like he kicked a soccer ball before. Gary, you got former national team players coming at you. How does it feel?
There's Benny, we can take up the entire episode with just this one thing, because we can unpack and peel back the onion on everything wrong with what Eddie said. First off, I'd like to say that it's kind of sad to receive something like that, because, you know, Eddie is somebody that I supported a lot during his career and even post-career to a certain degree, because he exhibited the cultures that we always advocate for here. He was always kind of anti-establishment, and people can do their homework on this. He wasn't one that kissed MLS's ass and oftentimes even criticized a lot of what was going on here in the United States as a player. And that would impact his career with MLS to a certain extent. So let's table that for a second. All I want to say is I respected him as a player for that particular reason, obviously. So let's see, where do we start? I guess we can start with what you said earlier, that the clip that he's responding to, I literally open up the clip by saying futsal is great. And specifically, futsal is great for development. My literal words. We'll post the clip here. Futsal is great. There, I said it. It's great. It's awesome for development. Great. The problem I have with it is that they don't know any better. And others, they take that fact that it's great for development and they're like, that's the solution. We should be deploying this stuff all over the place. That solves all the... It doesn't solve dick, okay? Because we still have the overarching systemic problem. The other thing I should mention is in futsal, it's not really that much of a brain game. It's just action, 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 action. It's schizophrenia all over the place. If you become very good in futsal, that does not mean that you're going to be a good player in the real game at all. At all. There are exceptional futsal players who suck my biggest pelotas on the big field. And there are world-class players on the big field that if you put them in futsal in a pro league or something, they're shockingly bad. Like it doesn't translate. So everything has its place. Going back to the original question, the futsal stuff does not solve the soccer stuff. And then I just go on to explain that it's not what everybody has made it out to be. And that is specifically, it is not the solution for American soccer. And so many folks here in the United States have been positioning themselves or posturing in a way that it is the solution to American soccer. And they've got all kinds of narratives and stories surrounding why they say it's the solution. Oh, just look at Argentina. By the way, Argentina is where I'm from. Okay. So I know a thing or two about Argentina. Oh, look at Argentina and look at Brazil. They have futsal all over the place. And that's why they have such skillful players. Blah, 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 blah. All to kind of validate their position. And their position in many regards, the most ardent supporters, the people who have been so combative in the comments, if you look at their profiles and you go through what they've been publishing, what they've been doing for several years at least, guess what? They either run a futsal league, or they are a coach in futsal, or they're doing personal training in futsal, or they have some sort of vested economic interest in futsal. So lo and behold, that's why they're fighting so hard. And they completely ignored the fact that I said futsal is great, a great tool. So Eddie Johnson's already wrong from that perspective. I already said it was great. So I don't know, what did he say next? He said something like, his kids, you know, just look at my kids on the big field. And then, bro, like, are we third graders here? It's an anecdote. Do we understand the difference between an anecdote or anecdotes and the real world? It's like, I don't know. I know this one kid who was great in math, you know, middle school, and now look at him, you know, in adult life or something. It's just so lame. Look at a much bigger body of work, much bigger data set. If you even want to make some sort of conclusion. I'll give you mine, Benny. Okay. So he says he has his kids and it's worked out great for them. First off, you don't know the alternate universe. If they never play futsal, what they would be like. Okay. But I have no doubt that the futsal has made his kids better. If you look at my perspective, I have my entire life has been in and around this game. I have played futsal since I was a kid for decades, even into my adult life, playing just rec even in my adult life, obviously, because the body, you know, starts breaking down. You can't be competitive anymore. But when I was in my 20s, fine, I would go and compete with all the Division I college players, which back then, Division I college soccer was like the shit, unlike what it is today. And we would wipe the floor with Division I college players, like Cal State Fullerton players, UC Irvine, UCLA players. They would all form teams and go and congregate here in Orange County and go and play arena soccer or futsal or whatever. And we would form our own team and we would wipe the floor with them because they had no idea how to play. So that's my playing background. And then from a coaching perspective, bro, for 20 years, I've been coaching or in and around coaching and coaches, looking at the kids and the ones who play futsal, the ones that don't play futsal, everything in between. So I don't have one son or daughter as my anecdote. I have a huge plethora of data points with, I've seen players cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle after cycle, hundreds and thousands of players, Benny. And that doesn't even drive my entire conclusion, because let's not forget what my conclusion is. My conclusion is not that futsal is bad. I'm saying the opposite. Futsal is good. It's just not the solution. There's so many other factors in play way beyond futsal. What have I missed? I'm sure I've missed a whole bunch of things because I can go on and on. And I'll say one more thing because I responded to Eddie. So, and I'm just remembering what I responded. I told him, you know, it's actually the opposite. A big part of the problem in this country are former players, former American players who have never accomplished a goddamn thing outside of their playing careers, coming out the gate saying, oh, this is how you should coach, or this is what you know, what's wrong with American soccer, blah, blah, blah. Look, I respect you as having played, but outside of the playing environment, you've done nothing. Once you coach teams, once you do something worthy of remark outside of having played the game, then we're on equal footing. Then I'm going to listen to you. Because right now, you're basically the equivalent of, I always say this analogy because it's something everybody can relate to. We've all been students, Benny. We've all been academic students. We've all been students. We've gone to school. We've gone first grade, third grade, high school, some of us college, et cetera, et cetera. We've all been students. And then outside of students, being a student, to come out and say, oh, I know how to teach. I know how teaching should be done. Or I know how the school system should be structured and architected. You're talking out of your ass. I don't care that you were actually a student or a great student or a phenomenal student. You know nothing about teaching. You know nothing about the education system. You know nothing about the bottlenecks, the issues, the bureaucracy, the politics, nothing. Complete ignorance. So it's like all analogies, they're not perfect, but I just roll that out there to kind of elucidate. Just because you were a former professional player, you were lucky and fortunate enough that somebody gate kept you into it versus some weren't gate kept into it. Some were great players who weren't elevated. But just because you were a former professional soccer player here in the United States doesn't mean you know jack shit about what's going on. I'll go further, Benny. If that were the deciding factor of whether you know what's going on or not going on, why is there so many disagreements among former professional soccer players? They all disagree with each other. They're not all unilaterally or monolithically saying these are the issues and these are the solutions. They all disagree ardently with one another. You have Hercules Gomez running his mouth about nonsense. You've got Eric Winalda completely against everything that Hercules Gomez says. And Eric Winalda played World Cups, played in Europe. You can go down the list. And then you've got Casey Keller saying X, Y, or Z. Oh, MLS is great, Seattle Sounders. And then you have Brad Friedel, who played in Europe and did all these things, was on the national team, saying the exact opposite of what Casey Keller says. So just because you were a former professional soccer player doesn't mean shit with respect to whether you know the truth or you don't know the truth. It's really, I'm going to keep going. This whole thing about ad hominem attacks, okay? I'm going to presume everybody knows what an ad hominem attack is. You go after the messenger, you go after the person who's delivering the message instead of actually sticking only to the ideas, okay? And having a discussion or a battle or an opposition specifically to the ideas. The problem with ad hominem is that it never stops. So I'll give you an example. Let's say there is a parent or somebody in soccer, right? They have a kid and they never played the sport. Okay. So level one is somebody who has played the sport, even just at the recreational level or barely even competitive and whatever. They can always tell that parent or whatever, you know, whoever's making a comment, oh, well, you never played. You know what the fuck you're talking about. I know more than you. And then level two, it's like, oh, level two is that guy will be told that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about by somebody who played college soccer. And then that guy who played college soccer will be told by somebody else who played Division I college soccer, made it to the Final Four in NCAA. He'll be told, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You only played for a state school who never even made the tournament and you weren't even a starter or something. You know what I mean? And then it keeps going from there. That guy will be told he doesn't know shit because I played USL. I was a pro. You weren't a pro. And then somebody else will say, yeah, but you just played USL. I played MLS. I actually know more. And then somebody else will say, yeah, but I played in Europe and you just played in MLS. You don't know dick. And then somebody else will say, well, you played in Europe, but you didn't play for a top five league. You don't know dick. And then somebody else will say, yeah, well, you played in a top five league, but not in a big club. You never played Champions League. And then somebody else will say, yeah, you played some Champions League soccer, but you know, I won the Champions League, or I was always contender for the Champions League. And somebody else will say, yeah, you won the Champions League or whatever, but you never won the World Cup, blah, blah, blah. It never ends. And you go all the way to Messi, and somebody can tell Messi, yeah, Messi, great. You're the GOAT, Ballon d'Or, Champions League, World Cups, everything, but you never coached a goddamn day in your life. You don't know dick. It'll never stop. And if you look at somebody like Jose Mourinho barely played at any decent level at all. I think he played maybe third division Portugal, barely, for just the passing fleeting moment. And he became one of the best managers in the world. And I think some of the German guys, I don't know if it's the current German national team coach. Oh, I'm going to botch this. I hope people don't roast me in the comments. But there's a super young German coach. He got his start, never played professional football at all. And he started coaching the pro team, the first division pro team, when he was in like his mid or late 20s, super young guy, crushed it, did phenomenal, and is doing phenomenal. So this whole thing about I was a pro, I know what, stupidest shit ever. I'll end with this, Benny, because I know we have to move on.
Really quick, here was the coach, Julian Nagelsmann. Is that him?
There you go. Give us a little bit of his resume while I regain my train of thought.
Yeah, so German young coach, never played pro, but he was known for his rapid rise. He became Bundesliga's youngest head coach at 28, managing Hoffenheim. And he also managed Red Bull Leipzig, Bayern Munich, and now Germany's national team. Is that true? He's a national team coach?
Yeah. So I was right. I was right.
Fucking legendary. Hey, by the way, okay, I know you're going to keep... You brought
no,
up...
No, let me just end. Let me just end with this.
Go for it.
The other thing that's interesting, Ben, is that while... Because we always say this, and it's just true, and it's not just... When I say we, I say everybody who is currently outside of the plane, actually playing on the field stuff. So whether it be coaches, technical directors, general managers, scout, whatever it is, okay? We all say this. Players don't know dick, okay? And with all respect, because a current player, their perspective is from within the pitch. Yeah, they're exposed to things outside of the pitch. Obviously, there's the locker room, there's all that stuff. But you're focused on playing. And while you're focused on playing throughout your career, those of us are outside accumulating thousands of hours doing the work off of the pitch and seeing stuff and analyzing stuff and trial and error and learning what works, what doesn't work, what are the real problems, what aren't the real problems. So while Eddie Johnson is playing his career, I'm here studying film. I'm here playing rec, obviously, but I'm here studying film. I'm here coaching. I'm here traveling to other countries. I'm here representing players. I'm here building a soccer business. I'm doing accumulating thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of experience and expertise, if I can use that word, while he's kicking the soccer ball. So he comes outside of the field, stops kicking the soccer ball, enters my world. No, pal, you have a head start over somebody who's never played because you've seen things, you have experience from that perspective for sure. I'm not debating that at all. But you've just entered this world. You're starting from ground zero effectively. Come talk to me after you put in 10 years of work here, serious work. Then we can have a discussion.
Yeah, I'd be curious actually, Gary, if Eddie Johnson, as he was developing, you know, as a young guy, I don't think he played futsal every day. I'm sure he did, you know, every once in a while, but it wasn't like what he's advocating for now. And so it's interesting, like he didn't need futsal to play everyday futsal to become a pro, right? But now that he's out of the game, trying to find a way, you know, and you always bring up the point of like professional soccer players, Gary, once their career is done, like they have basically have no other life skills, right? Soccer has been their entire livelihood every single day, 24/7. Training, going to games, right? Traveling. But once you're outside of that, like that's your only skill set, basically. And so what do these former pros, former national team players have to do? They have to do something, right? So why not coach? Why not get into that media job position? Or so it's interesting. I would be curious to see like how much futsal did he actually play growing up? Because now, I mean, now he's advocating it for all his players. Oh, all my players, we play futsal every day and look at how good they are on the field. But I guarantee you he wasn't playing because even futsal was, I don't think it was as big as it is now back when he was growing up, bro, especially in the US.
Yeah, no question. The other thing that's interesting, Ben, because I told you this could take up the whole episode because there's so many threads to this, is futsal is economically viable for people to get into that business. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's hard to start a club, okay, in the big field because everything's basically taken up. It's hard to break into that because all the existing clubs, youth clubs or whatever, already have all the fields on lockdown. You know, It's hard to break in there and it's hard to break into the leagues. It's hard to break in. But futsal, what do you really need? You don't need a big ass field. You just need a tiny little spot somewhere. Okay. And it doesn't even have to be formal, just a tiny little spot. And if you want to go to, you know, rent some space in an existing futsal facility, there's openings. You can do that. And if you can't do that, you can still set up a small sided sort of situation somewhere outside of there. And people are doing that. And I didn't understand or appreciate how big this little cottage industry had gotten. There's countless coaches, countless people who've gotten into this little gig and they're making some money. Not saying they're getting rich at all. And people need to get paid. Let me make that very clear. They should get paid. They're offering a product and a service. Absolutely 100%. But when I come out and say futsal is really not the solution, guys, to the American soccer problem, that's kind of like their gig that they feel is being under attack. Then I think that is the diagnosis of what we've seen.
Yeah, it makes 100% sense, Gary. Let's try and live in their world, put ourselves in their shoes for a second. Okay, a lot of the comments were, look at every other country, you know, they're playing futsal every day from the time that they're 5 years old. In a perfect world, in their perfect world, okay, let's say every kid in the U.S. played futsal, whether it be with their friends or in a structured environment, is the U.S. going to start magically producing cracks? You know, if it's this perfect culture of futsal every day and, you know, I'm going to go to futsal maybe 3 times a week and then I'll train with my team as well. But is the U.S. all of a sudden going to start producing world-class players?
No chance. No chance. I mean, I would think such a thing would be self-evident, but apparently it's not self-evident. How do I even start explaining this?
Because Gary, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but like almost every comment was like, oh, this is why other countries have success. This is why Brazil and Argentina win the World Cup, because they have kids playing in the street and they have kids playing futsal every single day.
I mean, I don't know what to say, Benny. We have a system-wide problem here, Ben. And the system-wide problem is based on a system that is driven by gatekeepers and not a meritocracy. I'm going to give you, because anecdotes seem to be what resonate with people. In all my time in the game here, I have seen cycle after cycle after cycle of youth players, exceptional youth players who have exceptional technical quality, which is what predominantly all these advocates of futsal say futsal increases, is your technical quality above everything else. They might start arguing about brain development and stuff, whatever, okay? But I'm telling you that I've seen countless players with exceptional technical quality that are not selected by the gatekeepers to go to the next level. The next level being professional, the next level being national team level, which is ultimately what we're talking about here to answer your question, getting to be world-class. Instead, all the gatekeepers predominantly are biased towards the physical attributes, not who has superior technical quality. And here's where people come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, well, Gary, but if you get all those guys that are being elevated to MLS or the national team, if they only played futsal when they were growing up, then put both things together and now you have some sort of magic. And I think it's simply naive to a huge extent, because when you have all that athletic ability, first off, they get on a virtuous cycle, the big, fast, and strong. We all know this, and I think we all agree in America that it starts at the youth level. The players that get elevated over and over and over again get to the best teams and get to the best leagues and then ultimately get the biggest shots at the pros are the big, fast, strong players. They predominantly rely on being bigger and faster and stronger than everybody else. And so when you go to the futsal courts, and I've been to the futsal courts for 20, 30 years in the United States, you see those exact players and player profiles there. And what do they do in the futsal games? They put their head down and just run straight, you know, and try and score and do all this. You don't see them trying to be skillful or anything of the sort. They're still doing the same shit that you see in that big field side of things. Put your head down, charge like a bull, and be a clueless donkey, right? And just try to overpower everybody, blind, not looking for sneaky wall passes, not looking to meg somebody or do bicycles and get by people, not looking to be, you know, do all the things that Neymar does, right? Because let's be real. You think about Neymar, you think about Ronaldinho. They don't do that. They don't do that, Benny. They don't do that. Go to any futsal court now. It looks terrible, Ben. They're not being skillful. Yeah. And I'll go further. It's just silly. They say, oh, look, Brazil. Brazil plays futsal and all. If you look at the Brazilian national team, you know, over the course of the past 10 years, the skill level from the futsal perspective has been eroding and being downgraded. And they're not all Neymar's. Argentina, you want to talk about futsal? Come on. Rodrigo de Paul is not a futsal skilled player. Cuti Romero is not a futsal skilled player. Julian Alvarez is not a futsal skilled player. Just guys, look at the player profiles of the vast majority of professionals. They're not futsal players. They're not fancy little doing all this trickery. It's just silly, Benny. The whole thing's silly. I want people to go play futsal. It helps them. It helps them develop technical quality and all kinds of other things. But to think that somehow that is the magic sauce that America is missing and all of our problems are solved and we're going to crank out, you know, world-class players is the dumbest thing on earth.
Yeah. No, Gary, you brought up a really good point that I hadn't even thought of. It's like, even if we did live in in these guys' perfect world of futsal every single day. And all of a sudden you start have these super technical ballers. Like, they're not going to get elevated, bro. They're not going to get elevated to the youth national team. They're not going to get elevated to the national team because our country doesn't value those types of players, bro. And so, yeah, everybody's saying, oh, we need more futsal, but it's the national team doesn't even want those type of players, bro. They're looking for, like you said, the big, fast, strong guys. And I don't know, dude, it's pretty, like, I was surprised too at how many people came out and were so upset. And I'm glad you brought up right now, Gary, that we think futsal is good. It's fucking great for development and working in tight spaces, you know, moving off the ball. But I don't know. I think people were thinking that you're totally against futsal or something like that, but it's just crazy to me.
But the clip, literally, I literally say futsal is great. I literally say great. And I also say great for development. Futsal is great. There, I said it. It's great. It's awesome for development. Great. My God, yeah. What more do you want from me? See, this is the thing, dude. And some of them are like, oh, you're just rage baiting or trying to get attention and stuff. First and foremost, I think it's very hard for somebody to flow the way I flow with my opinions and my perspectives while lying, right? It's hard. It's very difficult. You know, you only get to flow if you actually believe what it is that you're actually saying. Yeah. And by the way, again, I repeat it because people need to hear it. If I wanted attention, if I wanted to make more money, if I wanted to blow up 343 bigger and better than ever before by a factor of 10, I would just tell people what they want to hear. If I come out the gate, say, futsal is the fucking best fucking thing ever. You guys should go to Eddie Johnson's, you know, program or whatever the hell it is. That would get 10 times the attention of me saying, hey, man, this is reality. People don't want to hear the truth, Benny. That, you know, there's countless memes and countless historical facts, right, about the people who tell the truth are the most lambasted ones, the most hated ones.
Yeah. I actually saw a reel, I think it was today or yesterday, Gary, and I don't know who it was. I didn't recognize the player, but he was a former pro player. And he was basically saying, it was like a 30-second long clip. And he's basically saying, like, if you want to play pro soccer, don't play as much futsal because it's going to take away from your time. And bro, there was like 6,000 comments of people just fucking going off on the guy. Like, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. Like, bro, this guy literally said that he was a professional player and he started playing futsal and it was taking away from his time on the field and training and it wasn't translating to the big field.
100%. 100%.
And bro, you like 6,000 comments of this guy doesn't know what he's talking about and this guy's an idiot. Like, it was funny, bro. I'll have to find the clip.
No, that's why I admitted, and this rarely happens to me, that I was surprised.
Yeah.
I got caught off. You always have negative comments. You always have, always, in almost all our stuff, always. But I did not understand the magnitude of this. I called it a scam that at this point that's happening with futsal in this country.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's similar to like the personal training industry and, you know. Remember, I think it was like a year ago, we were not shit talking on personal trainers, but like we had some things to say and all the trainers came out and oh, Gary, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, who is this guy? Who gave this guy a podcast? Like, fucking funny, man. All right. So Gary, how much futsal should a kid actually be playing in their development years?
Yeah, this is a good question, man. Cause you know, I've always created this compartmentalization of like the five components to player development, right? It was the household influence, the personal training influence, the playing on your own influence, the team training environment. And I forget the fifth one, you know, but there's five buckets essentially. So this obviously, pickup games, right? So yeah. This kind of falls into the bucket of playing on your own and pickup sort of soccer bucket. How much? I don't know. I don't have any sort of magic formula. What I can tell you is that if you want to get better, you know, and ultimately have your potential increased, the kids should play futsal, especially at the earliest of ages. I don't know what that means. Maybe up to age U12, U11, U13-ish, something like that. But the earlier, the better, and keep going up until that point. Yeah, but, you know, I think it'll help you form a base, a foundation that complements and augments and helps in the big game, in the real game. But beyond that, or to just focus on that, that's silly. That's absolutely silly, because it is a different sport. It is a different game altogether. And I know people took issue with me. People have to remember that I'm flowing with it here. I have nothing scripted. I'm just going with the flow. People took issue when I'm like, oh yeah, it's brainless, right? And it's everybody going schizophrenic, blah, boo, 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 all over the place, and you have no brain. People say, what do you talk about? There's so much brain and tactical intelligence and all this stuff. Yes, guys, yes, of course, of course. But two things regarding that. Number one is that the brain game or the tactical intelligence is happening at the older ages when you're playing futsal. When they're little kids, okay, they're not sitting there, right, doing calculations and being chess players. They're not playing chess when they're little kids. The chess happens a lot later. So from a brain perspective, it's just a silly notion to say, oh yeah, it develops the brain. No, it doesn't. Secondly, let's assume it does. It does for close quarter play. So reduced space play. And on the big field, it's not all reduced space play. You've got 15 yards, you got 30 yards, you got 50 yards. You've got scanning on those scales versus scanning or thinking on much smaller scales. So it's a completely different sort of development thing that's going on. Do this small space, high pressure situations happen in the big game? Of course they do. Would futsal help there? Of course it does. But not how these people are selling it, which brings me to me calling it kind of like, quote unquote, a scam on X. And people kind of like, oh, what do you mean it's a scam? Like, what's going on here? It's a scam because, or it's a scam when people sell it as the solution, because obviously they have a vested interest and people believing that nonsense narrative that it is the solution. If they're not saying it's a solution, if they're just telling parents or families or whatever, hey man, you know, this is a great, you know, complement or supplement. It will help your little kid, you know, develop technique and stuff. Great. I have no issue with that. But if you're out here or creating these storylines surrounding this is the solution and this is why Argentina and Brazil and everybody have great players, and you're not going to be a great player if you don't do this, you know, with me and pay me $500, you know, for 10 weeks or something, then we're entering scammy territory. And it feels like that, Benny. Yeah, I'm not saying these people are scammers, but I felt icky. I felt some, I don't know, something gross coming from them. And my scam grifter alarms started sounding.
Yeah. I think, Gary, what also people need to understand is that there's a difference between what you call them scammers, right? What these futsal people in the US are selling versus kind of what it is around the world. Because if you look at futsal here, it's organized. The coach is there. The coach is telling the kids, hey, make an overlap here, or you're going to do this type of skill move. Fuck, Ronaldinho and Neymar did not have that, bro. They were in the streets by themselves with two shoes as a goal, bro. And here the coaches are selling it as organized training. There's going to be a referee. We're going to tell you exactly how to move. It's a completely different game out there. Like, is it called futsal? Sure. But think about it, in the streets, bro, they're not there with the coach. They're there with their friends and they're fucking making up their own rules and learning skills that they probably saw on fucking TV, and hey, I'm gonna go implement this here, bro. It wasn't like, hey, I'm gonna go with my futsal coach and he's gonna teach me the L move and I'm gonna train it 100 times. No, bro, it was organic, it was natural in the street. And what they're selling here is like, I don't know, like I think they're trying to they're trying to say like, hey, this is how everybody else in the world learned futsal, and this is how you're going to get great. But I guarantee you, bro, none of those players had a futsal coach. They played on the street with their friends. They played at the park. They used a basketball pole as a goal, bro. Like, to me, that is real futsal right there. Not organized with the referee and all these different set plays that the coaches run. Like, no, bro, that's not true futsal,
Benny,
to me.
Benny, let's erase the last 30 minutes of me ranting. Yours is the mic drop. That is the mic drop. That is the mic drop. That's it. Oh yeah. Players in Argentina, Brazil. And remember again, guy, cause I need to repeat it. My heritage is from there. I've been there. I've seen there. I have friends there. Everything on top of everything that you said, we're no coach, no, they're their own referees, all this stuff. It's age groups are all completely mixed. You can have a 12-year-old playing with adults. Okay. And bullying happens. You get bullied, like real bullying. You know what we say here, soft ass Americans say, oh, we have to stop bullying. You know, you get bullied and you bully, and it's complete jungle. Okay. It's the jungle. It's the Amazon fucking forest out there. Anacondas, fucking pumas all over the place. And you have to learn how to survive and develop that mental fortitude. But you had the mic drop. This, yours is the correct interpretation, Benny. Here, you got these guys who came after me specifically, crying, bitching, complaining. You go to their Instagram pages and they're a trainer, you know, in the futsal courts, or a coach, and they're charging $800 for 10 weeks of sessions and stuff like, come on. See, you nailed it, Benny.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
It just came to my mind, Gary, because when I think of futsal and when I played as a kid, it was nothing like how it is today, bro. Like, I brought this up on the podcast. I would go with my older brother, Danny's team. And like you just mentioned, the bully example, like I was a little kid amongst grown men, bro. There was no fucking referee. It was at the park. You win or you get off the field, right? And think about it, dude. I'm like 7 years younger than these guys. So if I make a mistake, these fools they won't say it, but they're fucking pissed at me. And you could just tell, bro. And like now when I hear futsal, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to have this organized, you know, futsal training sessions, and we're going to run set plays, and hey, let's enter this futsal tournament with referees. Like that, to me, that's, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. It's great for development. I'm sure there is benefits to it, but if you look at why other countries have had success like they have, it's not because of organized futsal, bro. It's this real street game, bro.
Totally. 100%, Ben. Okay, mic drop. I don't know if we should end the episode there or move on, or you have other things planned. I don't know, man, because you nailed it.
Yeah. Now let's end the futsal stuff there, Yuri. I mean,
okay.
I think enough said, dude. Enough said. I'm sure more comments will come up. And again,
hopefully we create a clip of you, and then you get the hatred.
We'll see, dude. We'll see. No, I mean, I want to reiterate, because it sounds like we're speaking like so negatively about futsal. Like, fucking futsal is a great thing, dude. And you have said that many times, but for some reason, people want to spin your words and say, no, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, this guy's trashing on futsal. Like, no, bro, it's literally an ingredient of the way that we want to train our players, bro.
Benny, you know that we would send our players and tell the parents of our players to go join the local futsal facility. And they would.
No, 100%, dude. All right, dude. Fuck futsal.
Fuck futsal. Scam. Massive grifting going on.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost like they're reconstructing the same shit that they all called youth soccer here in the States as a scam and a money-making endeavor and nobody, a cash grab, all that shit. They're doing the same fucking thing. They're replicating the same goddamn thing, but in the futsal environment.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I got one more anecdote on futsal. But
okay.
I was taking over a new team, and one of the moms came up to me after the first parent meeting, and this team had been together for a while, right? And she's like, hey, coach, you know, I love everything you said. I'm just curious, like, are you going to have the girls play futsal? Because our previous coach, like, yeah, we would play once a week, but She's like, it was terrible, Benny. Like, he just got there. He dropped the pennies. He just let the kids play. And he brought a speaker and there was music playing. Like, there was no teaching or no development going on. And in my head, I'm thinking like, fuck yeah, dude, that sounds fucking badass. But, you know, to her, it was like, it's not valuable unless you're out there like telling my kid what to do. And like,
yep.
Yeah, bro, it's like, no, fucking, yeah. This coach is 100% right to just show up, put the pennies out and have the kids play for an hour, dude. And she's like, yeah, there was no coaching. There was no teaching. It was horrible. All right.
Fucking Benny, great. You know that I started the pickup game service 5 years ago or whatever it was. Yeah. And this is precisely what I wanted to replicate. You know, like, hey, the kids need pickup. They need this sort of small-sided game environment. And here in the suburban Orange County area, they don't have that. So why don't I just grab a field and rent a field, you know, invite people out for this service. Yes, they had to pay for it because there are expenses. I had to pay for coaches to be there and at least supervise because they're children. You can't just, you know what I mean? Like, you need adult supervision that needs to be paid for. Fields need to be paid for. Everything needs to be paid for. And I basically did exactly that, Ben. You know, we had 50 people come on out. It was, I think, once a week, 2 hours a day. And the process was, here, we'll make up small fields for you with little pug goals or something. And you guys pick your own teams. You have at it. I recommend it should be win or stay, you know, and then whoever is out waiting for a game, you pick your next team and you keep challenging over and over again. And literally just two sessions later, Ben, or two or 3 weeks later, I had the exact same situation. I had a parent come up to me saying, hey, what the fuck? I thought we were going to get some coaching here. You guys don't do anything. Like, you completely don't understand what's happening. Even though I made it very clear.
How sad.
So all these futsal guys, well, let's drop it after this. All of these futsal guys are probably out there doing the organized thing and just cashing in. And I'm sure many of them, if not most, are well-intentioned. I believe that. I believe they're well-intentioned, but they just don't want to hear, they don't want this story, this truth to really get out into the marketplace.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see where they're coming from because I actually love playing futsal, where I said it in the last podcast. To me, it's more enjoyable than the actual 11v11 game. And I don't know, I felt like on the futsal court, I was a fucking baller. But then once I got to the big field, it was shocking, bro. So there you go. Just like you said, it doesn't translate, I don't think.
Two different games, speed chess and classic chess, two different games. You can have a world champion in one and they can cut the mustard in the other. And it's like so many other things, Benny, so many other variations of a particular game. You're good in one facet of it. You're terrible in another facet. Okay, let's move on, Benny. What else you got?
Oh, fuck, dude. One more thing came to mind. I was just thinking, like, if you're comparing the games, like, look how many crucial moments of the game you're missing, bro. Like, set pieces, long balls, throw-ins, like, so many things, bro. Anyways, it just came to my mind, like, bro, if you play futsal every single day since the moment you walk, you're not going to become a professional footballer, bro. Maybe a professional futsaler, but you're not going to fucking play at the pro level, dude. You know?
It doesn't mean. Okay, let's continue, Benny. I think we killed it. I think you had the mic drop moment. That is the takeaway.
And the next can of worms open.
I'm going to title this episode. I'm going to make the thumbnail "Futsal Sucks My Balls." Or something. I don't know. Something. Now I will do it for attention. Something provocative.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Gary, the next can of worm to open is beach soccer.
Same.
That's a real thing.
Once the futsal craze goes away and nothing ever changes in American soccer, somebody will have the bright idea. Beach soccer is the solution. Look at all the Brazilians. You see them playing beach volleyball, soccer, heading, you know, chesting it up and over and doing bicycle kick. That is the solution. That's why they've won so many World Cups. Look, they play on the beach every single day.
That's going to be a fun one.
And when that doesn't work, it'll be the the ping pong, you know, what's it called? The tabletop soccer ping pong thing.
Tech ball.
Oh, look, everybody's playing the tabletop ping pong soccer competitions. That's why they're the best in the world at football. That's why they win the World Cups. Bro, it's the dumbest. But the problem is in America, the people who have the money to pay for soccer services, right? They typically aren't soccer savvy. They're naive. They don't know anything. And so there's a business to be had there. And they get fooled. They get tricked. Pay me $500 or $1,000, and we're going to have a 10-week futsal bonanza.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Enough futsal, dude. Let's move on.
Okay, thanks.
I honestly thought we'd talk about it for 10, 15 minutes and then move on, but look at us for almost an hour. Love it.
Like so many things, I was right. It could take over the whole episode.
Yeah, it really did.
Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. A reminder for coaches, you can get both the free and premium coaching programs at 343coaching.com. Don't let anyone tell you your teams can't win by playing dominant possession-based football while also developing individual players to the highest levels. Nonsense. We've proved it at every single level, and so have hundreds of serious member coaches across the country. Now that we've moved on to the pro level, we're delivering everything we've learned in the program. Don't wait and continue delaying getting on a proven path. And parents, 343masterclass.com is where you want to go to get a working compass for navigating the American soccer landscape with your player. It's pretty bad out there, but let our experience guide you. Lastly, if you're coaching 7v7, we've got you covered there as well. Go to 7v7coaching.com. Until next time, cheers everyone, and keep building.